it's just 9 in the morning as Mr. Donald T. Wallace, board chairman of a huge insurance company, walks to the private entrance of Perry Mason's office.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Wallace, good morning.
Can I come in?
Well, of course.
Where's Mr. Mason?
He'll be here any moment.
May I wait? That is, if you don't mind, Miss Street.
It's perfectly all right with me, Mr. Wallace. Won't you sit down?
No, I... Well, yes, yes. Thanks.
May I take your coat and hat?
Oh, thank you. I'll keep them.
Can I get you a magazine?
No, thanks. I've got my newspaper.
Oh, newspaper. Oh, yes.
You read the newspaper, Miss Street?
Of course. Every morning.
And which newspaper do you read?
Why, the Daily Blade, of course.
Now, isn't that an interesting coincidence? I also read the Daily Blade. Though it isn't much of a coincidence, is it? Several million people read the Blade.
I suppose.
You read this column, Neighborhood USA?
Yes.
Read it this morning?
Yes.
Well, didn't you read this item? Your reporter can't name names at this time, but he can tell you that one of our town's most famous attorneys first accepted and then turned down a case for a group of insurance companies. Seems the companies wanted said famous attorney to direct a hush-hush investigation, but he's decided to bow out. Maybe this writer was not referring to Perry Mason, but may I remind you the writer's name is Jacobson. I happen to know Mr. Mason and Mr. Jacobson are personal friends.
Why, yes. As a matter of fact, Mr. Mason and I had dinner with Mr. and Mrs. Jacobson last night.
I suppose that answers my question.
No, I didn't have to answer it. Do you ever read The Record?
No, why?
Their gossip columnist mentioned seeing Mr. Mason and Mr. Jacobson at dinner. Now, you put those two items together and you'd certainly get an answer, in case you had a question. Especially if you didn't know Mr. Mason very well. Yes, sir?
Perhaps I'd better return later. Phone first for an appointment. Then, when it's convenient for Mr. Mason to see me...
Oh, well, he knows you're here, Mr. Wallace.
He does? How?
He expected you.
Young woman, I...
Oh, good morning, Della.
Morning, Chief.
Mr. Wallace.
Hello, Mason. Happened to be passing. Thought I'd drop in and congratulate you.
Oh?
Clever idea, those items you planned in the paper. This way, in case anyone did get the idea, you're going to direct the investigation for us. Well, those items ought to throw them off the track. Mm. That is, anyone who doesn't know the real story. Of course, I wasn't fooled. No, sir, not for a minute.
Oh?
I'll lay it on the line. When I read Jacobson's column, I got hot under the collar.
Good.
Oh, what you wanted, eh?
Well, your personal reaction was secondary. I hope we fooled some people. Or at least I hope they're a little uncertain. Now it's up to us to make them certain that I have quit.
Who are you talking about?
The people who know I have been retained by the insurance companies. I warned you that I would have to act in secrecy or not at all.
Well, we accepted your terms.
Someone talked.
Now, see here, Mr. Mason.
If you please. My sir, all six of you gentlemen are important businessmen. Each of you must know at least 50 people you feel you can trust. And look at it this way. There were six of you. There must be a total of 300 people you feel you can trust. Now, just one mistake in judgment could destroy our secrecy. Somebody made a mistake and let the cat out of the bag.
You are certain?
Yes. Miss Street, you have the check Mr. Wallace gave us as a retainer in behalf of the insurance companies?
Oh, yes, sir.
Give it back to him.
Oh, Mr. Mason, I...
Here you are, sir.
Well, what am I to do with this?
Call a meeting of your companies. Show this check to your five colleagues. Tell them you saw the newspaper item, spoke to me, and I confirmed it. In other words, I quit, and you have the check to prove it.
You quitting?
No. But that's our secret. You are not to tell the other five companies I'm still working.
Well, I don't like to deceive them.
You want me to work for you?
Yes. All right. And?
I'm going to trust you and Miss Street, Private Detective Paul Drake, and Police Lieutenant Donald Halverson. I've got a lead, and I'm going after it.
What do you mean, a lead?
Young Frank Riley knows something. I'm going to take him out of jail and make him talk. I'll give you a report at the proper time.
Oh.
And Mr. Wallace.
Yes.
Just in case you have any lingering doubts, I won't insist on secrecy. Look at it this way. The stolen car syndicate is going to make some money this year.
More than some.
The man at the top will probably net $1 million himself. $1 million tax-free dollars. Unless I fix his trolley. Or unless he fixes mine. I'm referring to my neck, Mr. Wallace. Don't ever kid yourself. There's always one man at the top. And if he knows that I'm the guy out to get him, and I don't know his identity, that gives him a big edge.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, then we understand each other. Okay, Mr. Wallace, I'm ready to go to work.
Meanwhile, miles away, Gordy Weber lets himself into the nightclub he will manage for JT and the big fellow. Now, Gordy walks through the deserted club to the manager's office.
Hello, Gordy.
JT! Hey, what are you doing out here this time of day? Well, you know I'm always glad to see you, but what's up?
Everything seems to be in readiness, Gordy.
Yeah, sure. I can open up any time you and the big fella give me the signal.
You mean only the big fella?
Well, sure, but you're his right-hand man.
Gordy, the big fella has given it careful consideration. You have your signal.
Swell. When?
Immediately. Last night, the big fella almost canceled the entire operation. A certain man was negotiating with the insurance companies to direct an investigation.
A stolen car investigation?
Of course. However, we have reason to believe the man in question will not direct the investigation.
Yeah, I guess I know what you're talking about.
You know all that you need to, my boy. Open the club. You any questions?
Well, I'd like to ask you something, but I don't want you to misunderstand, J.T.
What's your question?
Well, J.T., ever since you told me I was going to run this club, you've been checking me. Now, that's your privilege, J.T., but look, you checked the location of the club, and you personally checked into everybody I've hired. The decorations, even the furniture. That makes me wonder about two things, boss.
Yeah, I know. You wonder if the big fellow ordered me to walk behind you.
Uh-huh, and if I'm out of line for asking, then forget it. But a guy can't help wondering. I know I flapped my mouth once, but you said that was forgotten.
The big fella has asked me to walk behind you. Now you wonder why.
Yeah.
You don't appreciate the big fella, Gordy.
No?
Gordy, the man who conceived of this operation is, in his way, a genius. That's the proper word, genius. This is the pilot plant, Gordy.
The what, J.T.?
This is the first of many, many, many such headquarters. The big fellow's a man of vision. He understands our need for unsuspected headquarters such as this. This is the first. It must be perfect in every respect. That's why he has lavished my small abilities on details. For example, Miss Beekman.
It's all set with her?
Yes. She's to work wherever you can use her, Gordy. She's to work only.
Sure.
You understand me, Gordy? Let the girl alone. And don't ever be loose-tongued with her again.
I said sure.
I'll be watching you. And I warn you now, Gordy. Don't do anything to endanger this operation. It means too much to the man who conceived the scheme. He'll let nothing on earth stand in his way.
Yeah. You know, I can't figure the guy. The big fella's... Well, you say he's a good-looking guy. He must have all the dough he needs. Looks like to me he's got everything he needs.
Because you're a fool. A man's physical appearance means nothing. What matters it if he's tall or short or thin or fat? What matters
Well, nothing, Jake.
Money is nothing. Not money alone. It's the power. The power to bend to his will whoever he wishes. He'll have that power, Gordy. He has the genius.
Yeah. The big fella. He's quite a guy.
Yes, Gordy. He's quite a guy. All right. Get to work.
Well, as you know, J.T. himself is actually the big fellow. J.T. was talking about himself a moment ago. He obviously believes himself a match for any man, even of Perry Mason. And as we and Mason will learn, J.T. will prove himself a worthy antagonist. By all means, join us on Monday, won't you?